Good morning. Welcome to Zion Lutheran. We're so thankful that you're here this morning. Welcome to those on KXRB as well, on the radio. We're so thankful you're with us, and on the internet as well, on the live stream. Good to have you. Well, if you are here in the sanctuary, please sign in on the friendship booklets found in the pew racks. Also, a reminder of the prayer request cards that are in the racks as well. You can fill those out and drop them in the offering tray as they come around. That'd be wonderful. Today, we'll look at Thomas, and of course, he's doubting Thomas, but today, we're going to take a look at him, but in the realm of peace. So, finishing the question, I could be at peace if you fill in the blank, so think about that until the message comes forward, and we'll talk about that more. Well, the announcements before you is just first being a reminder that the congregational self-surveys are to be filled out and returned next Sunday. There's a box in the back of the sanctuary, and I think there's more forms there as well, or more surveys, shall I say. So if you haven't been up to speed on that, it's to help and assist us in choosing our next pastor for here at Zion, our associate pastor. So please pick one up if you haven't done so and fill it out, and then bring it back next Sunday and put it in the box, and we'll compilate everything together, and we'll let you know what we came up with. Next announcement, take part in the big squeeze in between services today. High blood pressure is a silent killer, and more than 103 million people are classified as having it. That's nearly half of all adults. So come over into the atrium to get your blood pressure checked by Zion's team of nurses. Next announcement, thanks for everyone for submitting their miles in our Lenten walk to Jerusalem. We made it there, and now we're heading back to Sioux Falls, so please continue to send your miles to Parish Nurse Rachel. Our Wednesday evening activities start up again this Wednesday. The supper Wednesday night, starting at 5:30, consists of pulled pork, mac and cheese, and fruit. And then Pastor Winkler will have his study following on Wednesday evening for two more times, the denominational study. And all of the other activities will start as well for two Wednesdays. Next announcement, thanks to everyone who made a donation during the Easter breakfast last Sunday. We raised $1,629 for the Midwest Honor Flight. Give yourselves a round of applause for that one. And then finally, the National Day of Prayer is on Thursday, May 1st. You're welcome to come to the sanctuary from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to pray. There is a sign-up sheet of times on the table in the back of the church, or just drop on in and pray as well as maybe you come up with some time during the day. We'd love to have you in the sanctuary here praying. Someone from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., so please check out that opportunity. Those are the announcements that I have for you this morning. So good to have you all here. Why don't we rise, turn, and greet one another in the love and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome and a joyous good morning to you from all of us here at Zion Lutheran Church. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Good Christian Friends Rejoice, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 475.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us then come before God and each other and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. We come humbly before you, O Lord, recognizing that we have not always responded to your grace and faithfulness and obedience. Often we feel we deserve more or better, forgetting and rejecting your word and your works of salvation. At times we are lured by the world's deceptions, consumed by greed, passion, and desire. We fail to be thoroughly grounded in your word. Forgive us, dear Lord, for rejoicing in the temporal treasures on earth instead of the eternal treasures of heaven. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Forgive my impatience and my neglect. By your Spirit, lead me to greater faith, obedience, service, and repentance until your call to eternal glory comes. Our Lord invites us to come and see what he has done. He has given us solid promises that guard our faith in days of sorrow, suffering, confusion, conflict, and pain. He has sent his Son to be the word of life. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and through the work of our Savior Jesus Christ, all of your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Our intro is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all his shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. And he established them forever and ever. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For his name alone is exalted, his splendor is above the earth and the heavens.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also
let us pray together. Almighty Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll have our time in the Word.
Jesus shows his hands and feet. The disciples were talking together when all of a sudden Jesus was standing there with them. He hadn't knocked or come in at the door. He was just there. He must have come right through the walls because Jesus can do anything. His disciples are scared, but Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. I am Jesus." In this picture, you can see him showing his friends the holes in his hands and his feet, so that they will know that this is really their very own Jesus who was nailed to the cross and died. Now he is alive again, and they are seeing him. Pretty soon he will eat some fish with them and some honey, so that they will know that he is really alive and is not just a ghost. Thank you, Father God, that the same Jesus who died on the cross is alive again. First reading, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 20. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle readings from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 18. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the words and ministry of Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel, John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Sing our sermon hymn, "Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven," from the Lutheran Service Book number 477. Pastor Greg Lair is now entering the pulpit to deliver today's message.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I could be at peace if... You go ahead and fill in that blank. I could be at peace if... How would you finish that sentence? I think there's as many answers as there are people sitting in the sanctuary this morning, and even more, because I'm sure that each of you could fill in a couple words at least to that blank, and if not at least a couple, you could fill in maybe a many things that rob us of our peace in our hearts. Depression, anxiety percentages in our country and in our world are staggering, and it's in every age group. It's from children to adolescents to middle-aged adults to the elderly. Peace seems to be entirely elusive. It's an impossibility. It seems otherworldly almost. But we still try, don't we? I could be at peace if I felt a little bit more secure about the future. I could be at peace if that person in my life would stop being so bullheaded and loving instead. I could be at peace if my family knew how hard I'm trying. I could be at peace if my spouse seemed to care a little bit more. I could be at peace if I could just forget the past and move on. I could be at peace if I saw some noticeable improvement in my life. And I could stand here and go on and on and on until what, I'm blue in the face, and I probably wouldn't even get close to the words that you're thinking about plugging into that space there. And that kind of proves the point, right? That there are no shortage of stressors in our lives that keep us from being at peace. And soon enough, those stressors that inch their way into our lives, they give way to doubt, they give way to fear. And it's just not about ourselves and our future. It gives way about fear and about doubt about God, too. Peace seems to escape us at every turn when we get to that point. On the screen, you can see, but did you ever think that maybe you're looking for peace in all the wrong places? Agitated, anxious, doubting, despairing. Those are just a few of the adjectives that I'd use to describe the disciples on that evening of that very first Easter Sunday. I mean, think about the previous week and everything that they've gone through, the emotional roller coaster. They came from the triumph of Palm Sunday, the warming parade of those yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna," palm branches waving. Moving into Maundy Thursday, where they sat together and broke bread, and Jesus instituted and mandated the Lord's Supper. The next day, they have the agony of Good Friday, where Jesus yells, "It is finished." The depression of Holy Saturday, when it's quiet and nothing's going on. The disciples were anywhere but at peace. Yeah, the reports of the empty tomb, they probably came trickling in all day. Can you imagine? Did you know the tomb is empty? Because the women, they were in hysterics because they'd seen the Lord. Peter and John, they ran to the tomb, they looked in, and they believed, even though they fully didn't grasp all that it meant. The disciples walking on the Emmaus Road, right? Their hearts burned within them as they walked and talked and broke bread with Jesus. But what did it all mean? How did these disciples go on? Because each of them, not just Peter, not just Judas, each of them had abandoned Jesus at the hour of his greatest, deepest need. And so when peace seemed most elusive, the disciples did what comes naturally and did what still comes naturally for us today. They hid. They isolated themselves. They hunkered down. And they hunker down in the ruins of the grand plans and promises that they'll stay loyal and faithful to Jesus, anxious, alone, afraid. But then Jesus showed up. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the door locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And while the disciples, I'm sure, were engaged in this exercise of introspective contemplating, wondering what they could have done different, wondering what they should be doing now, Jesus barges in on them and gave them what they could never, ever, ever find within themselves or in their best efforts or in their best intentions for the future. Peace be with you, Jesus said. Shalom. And shalom is not just a Hebrew hello, it's much more than that. Back in the day when the Jewish people used the word shalom, peace, it carried with it an understanding that everything is as it should be. No war, no crime, no disease, no sin. In other words, just like God created the world in perfect harmony with Him. And Jesus brings this shalom, this peace, to His troubled disciples. Not a pleasant thought for the future, you know, like something like, hey guys, things might get better in the future, hang in there. But a promise that the barrier of sin that stood between them and a holy God has been removed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Right into their fog, right into their fear, Jesus brings this news that because he lives, peace with God is true. And not only is it true for those that lived a long, long time ago, it's a present reality for us gathered here today, listening on the radio or on the live stream, right? Because on the screen, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Jesus barged right through their locked door. He did that because he loved him too much to let them keep going on, trying to find peace, find security in all the wrong places. You see those locked doors that shut them in and those thoughts that kept replaying of the previous 72 hours that wouldn't bring them peace. Only Jesus could. And only Jesus did, right? In his grace, Jesus does the very same thing for you and I, dear friends. If you're like me, you've never been hiding in the locked door in the city of Jerusalem. Right? But we do build and put big locks on the doors around ourselves to try to provide ourselves with a sense of security. We think that if we can just get things just so in our lives, then we'll finally have peace. Maybe it's our rainy day fund, maybe it's our family time, maybe it's our steady job. But how are your self-made security systems functioning, dear friends? Or how are they failing? But those doors that you and I, that we build around ourselves, they never provide peace. They never provide security that we think they will provide. It doesn't happen. If I'm trying to find peace with God by searching somewhere within myself or looking at the works of my hands, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. Then you're basically still standing side by side with those disciples long ago, looking intently at themselves and missing the breathing Jesus standing right there in front of you. See? Jesus loves you too much to let you keep trying to find that peace in all those wrong places. So with his resurrection, he barges through the self-made doors that we think will bring us peace and security, but don't. He gives us what we most desperately need, but have only failed to find on our own. Peace. True, lasting, blood-bought peace with God. See, the peace of Easter is the peace to know that Jesus lives. The Holy God is not angry with us. He's not an ogre waiting to squash you down into hell forever. Jesus has paid the debt for your sin. You are free from that. The peace of Easter is to know that because Jesus lives, you don't have to be afraid that one day when you end up lying in the casket, Jesus has already defeated your death. with his resurrection. He says, because I live, you will live also. The peace of Easter is to know that the anxiety and the worry and the fear that drain joy from your life, peace from your heart, sleep from your eyes, to know that all of those pressing concerns that seem to smack you right between the eyes when you wake up every morning, they aren't the final word. Instead, with Jesus' resurrection, he promises, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And this peace of Easter is to know that Jesus lives and he is alive for you. Yeah, you. Not by our own powers of reasoning, but by the gift of the Holy Spirit. The disciples learned this truth in a very, very pointed way, did they not? Jesus is alive. But not all the disciples were present that first Easter Sunday, right? Thomas missed out. What was he doing? There's so many answers to that question. But even his fellow disciples, they tried to tell him that they've seen the Lord. John chapter 20, verse 25, we have seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. Thomas wasn't going to have anything to do with that, was he? You know, he's kind of like us. I could be at peace if I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, put my hand in his side. I could be at peace if I see these things, then I'll believe. But then, right, he shows up, Jesus. And what do you suppose he says to doubting Thomas, our friend? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And I think to myself, what grace Jesus shows here, does he not? He doesn't come in and slap Thomas upside the head like you and I might. He doesn't grab him by the shoulders and shake him back and forth to try to get some sense into him. No, he doesn't do any of those things. He meets Thomas right where he's at. He proves every ounce that he is alive. What do you want, proof? Do you want proof of Jesus' resurrection? I mean, I asked that on Easter Sunday, and I tried to give you proof. Would you like a little certainty about this promise of peace? I hope you answered yes in your head. And if you did answer yes, then notice very carefully what Jesus does to give that proof and to give that peace. Okay, here we go. Jesus doesn't point Thomas to Thomas. Jesus points Thomas to Jesus. If Thomas looked at himself, what would he see? He'd only see his doubt, he'd see his failure, and he'd see his despair. Because he's blinded by doubt and he's blinded by skepticism, Thomas got to experience the glory and the love of God. How? By passing his very hand in, over, and around the wounds that paid the price of his redemption. With Thomas, don't look to yourself for peace, proof, and assurance. Instead, like Thomas and with Thomas, you rest in the wounds of Jesus Christ, your Savior. Look where Jesus has promised to be found. He's promised to be found at the baptismal font when the water and the Word comes together and he makes you his own. The bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper lying on the altar waiting for you to come to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And in this word you're hearing preached and the word you heard read from the lectern where he promises if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you're looking for proof, peace, and assurance, listen again to Jesus on Good Friday when he yells out, "It is finished. It is finished." Because he meant it. This is Christ's promise. It's a peace that passes all understanding. But don't look for it in all the wrong places. You may never get that promotion at work. You may not become independently wealthy overnight. Your marriage still may be tough. Your family may remain dysfunctional. Your life may seem like one failure after another. The progress isn't happening like I like it. But you know what? That doesn't mean that Christ's peace isn't real. It doesn't. A good job, a loving marriage, financial stability, it's all good and it's all well. But you see what happens in this world we live in. We look and grasp those things to see if God is making good on his promises Or even worse, he's not. If I'm doing good enough on my part, then I'll bring around God's blessings in my life. That's not how it works. It seems logical in our human understanding. That's how the world works, right? But that's the trick of the devil when it comes to the upper story of our salvation. It would seem to make sense to our human understanding, there's no doubt. But remember what it's called. It's the peace of Christ that passes what? All understanding. It's the peace of knowing that no matter how peppered our life is in unfaithfulness or our track record is in our unfaithfulness, God's never going to break his promise of faithfulness to you, ever. It's the peace to hear God's guarantee that the mountain of your sin is dwarfed. It's completely overcome and covered by the mountain of his grace. Isn't that wonderful? The peace that passes all understanding even sees the challenges of this life that we find ourselves in not worth comparing the glory that is ours because of our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, true peace isn't found in me or in my situations. It's found only in God's promise to me in Jesus Christ. Jesus is comforting his disciples and said this to them and is saying it to us, his disciples, today. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And in that gospel lesson for today from John chapter 20, three times within six sentences, Jesus says the exact same thing. It's on the screen. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Why? Because he means it. And why? Well, maybe because he just knows how prone we are to forgetting it. Especially when things don't seem so peaceful in our lives in the current moment. But thanks be to God, dear friends, because of instead of casting us out into the world looking for peace, don't you see what he's done? God's attached the peace of Easter to his word and his sacraments. In the good news of his gospel, we hear our loving Father's eternal refrain, and here it is, I love you. I have forgiven your sins. I have defeated your death. My peace is yours. I could be at peace if. Good question, isn't it? Easter provides the only answer to that dilemma, dear friends. I am at peace with God through my Savior, Jesus Christ. How? It's his power. It's his promise. Peace be with you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with you. Amen. Well, if you're able, then we'll rise at this time and confess our common faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We'll collect our tithes and offerings at this time. Remember the prayer request cards found in the pew racks as well. Drop those in the trays. That'd be wonderful. We have the children's treasure box to walk their offering up. Ushers, come forward.
Please join the congregation as we sing our offering hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 765. Thank you.
If you are able, please rise for prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you in your church on earth, who now rest from their labors. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, and bring us at last to the joys of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is Christ the Lord is Risen Today from the Lutheran Service Book number 469.
Thank you.
at Zion Lutheran, we are committed to reaching out, strengthening the saved, and serving Jesus Christ by serving others. Amen. Have a blessed day.
Listening to a broadcast of the early morning worship service of Zion Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. If you have no regular church home, we want to invite you to be our guests at our Sunday services. Traditional worship is held at 8 a.m. and contemporary worship is held at 10:30. Our educational hour with classes for all ages is at 9:15. Zion Lutheran Church is located one block west of Minnesota Avenue at 22nd and Spring and is affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, we would appreciate your prayers and support. Our mailing address is Zion Lutheran Church, 1400 South Duluth Avenue, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57105. Or visit us online at zionlutheransf.com, and you can also find us on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you for listening and for your support in this ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's blessings to each of you. Until next week, this is Jeff Flayton wishing you the blessings of God's grace in Christ Jesus.